Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Meanwhile, we've got a four-year-old daughter called Emma. You may have seen me holding on to her during the worship. And we love Emma so much. Time flies, doesn't it? If you're a parent, it's true. You hear them say, time flies, you know. Oh, but time does fly. And Emma's 4 years old, and she's just started school. She started reception. And Thursday and Friday this week were her first full days, her first two full days. And Lisa's been thinking, oh, this is good times. This is good times. Because Emma now, she's going to school. I'm going to have more time to do stuff, focus on church, all that kind of stuff. And then when Emma's actually gone, you find, oh my gosh, this is a little bit more emotional than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be like happy for, you know, the free time and stuff. And then you're like, oh, my little girl, she's not here so much. And it's quite an emotional moment. And I took Emma on Thursday, I took her over to school. I drove her up, and Emma was all kind of bouncy on the way. And if you know Emma, she generally seems like quite confident, quite bouncy. She'll be probably running up and down these chairs at the end of the service. And we took her up to the gate. I took her up and to a teacher, and she's been bouncing along. And then she arrives at the gate, and as she crosses the threshold of the gate, her demeanor changes, and she's suddenly become all sheepish. And I'm like, oh no. No, it's like just that line there of the gate went from bouncy to, oh, I don't know. She even put the little hoop of her bag into her mouth. And I'm like, oh no. And she sort of walks into the playground and there's kids playing. And she loves climbing on stuff. So she climbs up on the thing just really slowly, sort of the thing. And I'm like, oh no. And what the parents are doing at the moment is looking through the fence. They're looking through the fence at the children, trying to go, hello, still here. I don't think it's for the kids' benefit. I think it's for the parents' benefit, don't you? I think it's for our benefit. And I'm looking at Emma and I'm thinking, oh no, thank God, Lisa's not here right now or her heart would be breaking in two. And Emma's there sort of a lot of wandering around. And then she clocks eyes on me. And it's like, bing, ah. And then she's spinning around, she's dancing, she's running about, she's singing, she's up on everything. And she's not like looking at me, she just has realized, I'm there. And she's just suddenly this whole, oh, this is Emma. Emma suddenly comes out of hiding and starts doing all her stuff. And I thought, oh gosh, she's gone from I don't know if I can do this, to I can do this. Yeah, to I can do this, and this being I can be myself. I can express myself. I can express my personality and my gifting. And then she queues up. There's a queue, and she's been standing in the queue when it's queue time, and just sort of, you know, shuffling along. But this day she was in the queue and she was waving back at me and she's like pointing to the lad behind. I assume she knew him. She's too young for it to be anything other than that. She's just going. I'm like, okay, must be a friend, okay? And then she's walking in, like, I can do this. And I'm like, that is awesome. Just she's thinking, I suddenly don't need everyone else's approval because I know I've got my dad's approval. And it just brings out something in us. And I think we've got to realize who is with us, not who's just watching through the fence at us from afar saying, go on, but who we've really got cheering us on. Because I've realized this, a lack of confidence leads us to doubt and questioning. It leads us to think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm capable of this. I don't know if I'm capable of what is in front of me. It can lead you to, I don't know. I don't know if anyone likes me. Maybe if you are new to the city and new to university, you can maybe have confidence issues before in your last place where you were, you're like, I don't know, maybe you knew everyone and everything's cool. And then when you come into a new place and a new area, you think, I don't know, is everyone going to like me? I don't know if I can face this new thing that's in front of me. This is overwhelming. I find when we lack in confidence, we tense up. Or is that just me, right? We tense up and a second you know, just questioning everything. We're second guessing ourselves. I do that. You know, when my confidence starts to drift, I'm second guessing myself. We find ourselves shrinking back or trying to project a false confidence that doesn't match the true us. There's a true you that God wants to bring out. Whatever your situation, wherever you are, there's a confidence, a God confidence that he wants to bring out in your life so that you enter into whatever's coming tomorrow, whatever's coming this afternoon with a sense of, I can do this. Not a bravado, I can do it, but a sense of knowing who is with you that will lead you with confidence into your tomorrow. It is amazing what happens to our confidence when we know there is someone who believes in us and knows us and still believes in us. They're the best people to have around your life, right? People who believe in you and they know you. I'm like, gosh, there's people who know me. Lisa knows me and she still believes in me. I'm like, that's pretty awesome, right? You just get to see me come up here and do my thing and then go home. Lisa sees me all the time. She knows me and yet she still believes in me. It's great when there's someone who knows you and still believes in you. It's all right, some of people, but you can believe in someone until you realize what they're really like and then it's a challenge, right? So I'm so grateful for people around my life that know me and still believe in me. And I think this about God, that he knows you, every single thing about you and your thoughts and your doubts and your stuff and your struggles, and yet he still believes in you. He's not given up on you. He's not going to give up on you. Here's some Bible for you. Ready for some Bible? You come to church for some Bible, right? And this is John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. Jesus says this to his disciples. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I haven't got time to really dwell on that. But I've realized this. If you know Jesus loves you and you fall in love with him, then you want to do what he says. It's not like, oh, well, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Right? Actually, it comes out of knowing him in the first place. So everything we do comes out of knowing his love for us in the first place, right? But that's not what I'm talking about today. Verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper, a helper to be with you forever. I don't know if you feel like you're on your own, right? But God, Jesus has asked the Father to send you some help. Anybody need some help? Does anyone say, I need some help? There's help for you. You need some help with Phil. Yeah. There's help for you. A helper. He says, I'm going to send you a helper to be with you forever. Not for a moment. Not on the good days. Not just on the bad days. But a helper to be with you forever. Even a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Isn't that good news? I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love this about God and I love this about Jesus Christ, that he's not just sat off in heaven saying, go for it. You know, looking through the gate of your world saying, go on, in you go. In you go now. Go on. I'll see you this afternoon. I'll come and pick you up, right? He's actually with you forever. He says to disciples, you know the Holy Spirit, my presence, another just like me to be with you forever. You know him because he's with you, right? And he will be in you. So I think this is even better. This is just better than just saying, oh, God's with me. He comes to dwell in you, put himself in you, to live within you, to never leave you or forsake you. I think that's good news. I think that's great news. So if you're feeling helpless, that's only part of the story. It's not the whole picture of your situation because you're not helpless. You've got God's approval. We try for approval, but we've got God's approval through trusting in Jesus Christ. If you're trusting in what he's done for us, we've gained his approval. And here's something you need to know. We believe in you too. We believe in you. We believe that there's a plan, and a purpose for your life. And we believe there's a God who loves you, and there are incredible things. You might not be going to Kuala Lumpur to plant a church, but there are great things that God wants to do in and through your life in this season. We're believing for our church that this year things are going to be unlocked in people's lives. Just incredible things, incredible influence, giftings, new stuff. You think, well, gosh, I don't know, maybe the good days are behind me. The good days, the better days, the best days are in front of you. They are in front of you. And we believe in you that you can step into your future. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. Here's my main verses, right? It says this. This is Jesus talking to the church. He's talking to us. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? It says, you are, say I am, the salt of the earth. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the salt of the earth. Who are you, the salt of the earth? Say it in a pirate voice. I don't know. It seems to work. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Don't turn the person next to you and say that. Don't. You are, verse 14, the light of the world. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the light of the world. You thought you were just a student. You thought you were just a worker. You thought you were just a scientist. You thought you were just, I don't know, a neighbor. You thought you were just something. Turns out you're the light of the world. Hello. Turns out, gosh, I thought, you know, I was just me. I just thought, you know, I'm going about, what? I'm the light of the world? Jesus wants to shine something incredible into the world through me, through us. That's pretty good news. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Some of us are too humble. So humble, it's like wrong. God wants to put us on a stand to shine out. It gives light to all the house in the same way. Let your light shine. Turn to the person next to you and say, let your light shine. Yeah. Before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know what, church? We are born for influence. We're born to be world changers. You know, if you've lost confidence or if you've never had confidence, then this is a day you re-grab or take hold of who God is, who we are in Him. And I would say let's enter an outrageously confident year of influence in our world. God wants to instill in you an outrageous confidence in who He is, not in you, but in Him and His plan and purpose for your life. I want to believe that confidence is going to come back in some areas of your life. Some of us, we really need some confidence. Which some of us feel like, I am Mr. Low Confidence, right? And most of us, actually, at some point, some way, we're all lacking confidence. We're all feeling a little bit, oh gosh, I don't know if I'm up to this thing called life, right? I don't think it's just me. I think it might be you too. But God wants to put some confidence. First of all, confidence in your walk. Confidence in your walk. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Confidence. Confidence in your walk. And what do I mean by that? I was in a city center the other day, and I saw someone who looked like Liam Gallagher. Liam Gallagher. Gosh, that's a bit of an old reference. Maybe there's people in the room go, I've never heard of Liam Gallagher. Dave, how old are you? It's not the 90s anymore. Liam Gallagher. First thing I thought was, well, you're in the wrong city, mate. This is Liverpool, not Manchester. And then, you know, the Liam Gallagher walk, you know, it's that strut that says I'm totally confident, but actually really understands I have no confidence and I am just actually, you know, making it up, you know. You see the people walking down the street sometimes, it's usually a young lad, it's usually someone about 19 or 20, and they're like walking down the street. They're like trying to look. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't move out of the way for you, do they? They don't move out of the way. That's really annoying, isn't it? When they're walking down and you go, oh, all right, whatever. Okay. Otherwise, I don't know, you're going to get into a fight, right? But it's not that kind of thing that I'm talking about. You know, in verse 13 of chapter 5, it says about, you know, if you lost your saltiness, you're only good for being trampled underfoot and being thrown out and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know what? God does not want you to be trampled underfoot. That is not what God's saying. He's not saying, man, if you've lost your saltiness,
I shall be throwing you out. That's all you're good for. It's all you're good for. That's not the heart of God, right? He does not want you to be trampled underfoot by anything. God wants you to have a confidence in your walk, that not you're not being walked over, but you're walking over some stuff in your life. There's things in our lives sometimes that we're being crushed. You know, it's like we're being crushed like a grape of emotion. A grape of emotion and life just crushing us. And it's like the emotion falls out. It's worse than being physically tired to be emotionally tired, isn't it? You face something, I can be having a good day and I sit down and I'm talking. All I'm doing is talking with someone. Just talking. We're not fighting. We're not running. I'm just talking. And after 15 minutes, I'm like, oh, God. Walk out of the place like, it's like I got bags under my eyes, have gone dark. I'm like, I need a Red Bull or something just to get through the rest of the day. It's like emotional draining is like the worst kind of draining. And it's like sometimes our life, it feels like everything is walking all over us. Sometimes it gets so bad that we feel like, well, gosh, maybe everyone may as well just walk all over us. It says this in Proverbs 18, verse 14, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? We can endure some stuff, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? When me and Lisa first came over to Liverpool like a year or so ago, this time last year, I was dealing with some stuff. We were been leasing a property, a sports center, and we were coming out of this sports center, and I was new to it. I'd never dealt with leases or buildings or solicitors and all this kind of stuff in this area, and suddenly I'm responsible for getting us out of there with paying as little money as possible for getting out of there. And there was a guy always on the phone, saying, you're going to owe us this money. I'm very good at getting this money back. I always get all the money. I'm like, oh God. And I don't know. Maybe he does. That's what I was thinking. Maybe you do get all the money. I don't know. And they put in this thing and said, we want £120,000 from your church, right? That's what you're going to owe us. And I'm like, £120,000? That's, you know, I always get my money. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know what to do. What do I do? I said, no, you don't. I bet you don't. Not this time, mister. And you can feel like stuff is just crushing you, walking all over you. Maybe you got some stuff going on, but I want to say, you know what? For us, confidence is coming back. Confidence is coming back to our lives. Because here's the promise of God. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near. Say he's near. He's near to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. So when you're crushed in spirit, suddenly you feel far away from God. You feel like I'm further than I've ever been. But he says he's near. He's right at hand. And I love this. Romans 16, verse 20. Paul says to the church in Rome, he says, the God of peace. I love this. Ah, the God of peace. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. I'm like, whoa, hang on a minute. It's a bit violent for the God of peace, isn't it? That was a bit of out of left field. Oh, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. I'm like, whoa, this is serious. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I just think God wants to get us walking over some rubbish. You know, taking a new position of walking. It's not like, right, you start crushing the enemy. You start walking over your stuff. He says, God will do it with your feet. I mean, that conjures up crazy images. I don't know. He's going, go on, squash him. You know, squash him, get him. It conjures up some interesting images in my head. But through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, he's dealt with every adversary, every enemy, even the adversary in your life of low self-esteem, because he's shown that God loves you with an everlasting love. Oh, that'll crush some stuff. That'll crush something. He crushes Satan with, I've chosen you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in my sight. That'll crush some stuff, saying, oh, I can't get rid of this stuff. I can't change. That'll crush something under your feet as you start walking
walking in this stuff, walking in the truth of it, walking in who you are, walking in, do you know what? God can do immeasurably more than all I ask or think according to the power that's at work within me. I'm like, gosh, there's no need for any one of us to be trampled, completely crushed and destroyed. I think God wants to reinflate the grape today. It's not in my notes, that. Just thought of it. Don't know if it'll ever go in those notes. But I want to say of your life, because this maybe is for one or two, right? You are not going to be walked over anymore. I think you need to claim hold of that. Some of this, you are not going to be walked over. And maybe some of that has some very real relevance for one or two of us. You are not going to be. Because Satan is crushed under your feet as you take hold of what Jesus Christ has done. You don't need to shout about it, get angry about it, because he's the God of peace. He wants to put a peace, the confidence of peace in your heart. The grace of God says, I can do this. We can do this. He also wants you to have confidence to dream bigger. That's what this year has got to be for each one of us. Confidence to dream a little bigger. Verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. If that's not a bigger dream for what you could be and what we could be, I don't know what is. Hope City Church, the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Our dreams are not just our dreams for ourselves, but our dreams for our church, our dreams for the church community, the dream for what we can achieve together. There is a bigger dream. I want to say we're the future of the city. Church is the future of the city. It's not the history. It's not the past. It's not that, oh, no, you know, remember the Christian days, you know, when Christianity had an influence. I'm like, the influence of your faith and our faith will be much greater in the days ahead than the history, the faith of history with a future. It says you're the future, a city on a hill. You're the place that the city looks to for light, for help, for hope. You're the place that the city comes to, that the city is drawn to. You're the place, you know, he's talking to the Jewish people when he's saying these words. He said, hey, you guys, you're the ones who show everyone else what God is like. You stand out. And that's what he says to the church. Guys, you're the future of the city. You're not the cul-de-sac, you know. You're not situated, I don't know, I can't think of a cul-de-sac. Can't think of an area of Liverpool without insulting it. So you know, you're not St. Helens, right? You're not on the edge. Sorry. Chris, okay, backtrack. But you're the future of the city. You're not meant to be just out there somewhere, no one's heard of you. This city needs some church, man. This city needs some church. Oh, that's good. To rise up and believe and dream again. We better decide what sort of future we want, or someone else is going to decide it for us. You've got to decide what kind of future you want, what values you want to live by, who you want to be. You better decide, otherwise someone else will decide for you. Confident people dream bigger dreams. So you know what? I've never attended the church that I'm dreaming of. I've never been there. I've never attended it yet, because it's in here. There's something that I can see. There's a bigger dream. There's way more people, an influence, and when I think of cities, I'm like, guys, you know what we need to see? A whole load of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, getting hold of the fact that they're called to be a world changer in their world, and going about walking over some stuff and taking hold of a confidence that God is with me. We need to see a whole lot of that before church actually really starts to direct the city and people come to the church. You know, and something's in there. A church that sets the pace, a church that sets the tone for a city, and as Hope City for nations. And God's got so much that he wants to do through our lives. But I haven't been there yet. It's just here, and there's a seed of it in front of me, and we take steps towards it. You know, but you got to dream a bigger dream in order to take the steps to enter into that bigger dream that God has for you. The disciples were hanging around after Jesus had died. He'd actually rose from the dead, but they weren't sure if he had. And John 20, 19 to 23 says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. He's the God of peace. Bringing peace into their fear.
bringing confidence into their lack of confidence. He said, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, here's the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. The fearful disciples living, they were just living with shattered dreams in that moment. Shattered dreams. It's all over. We thought Jesus was the Messiah. We thought he was going to lead us into victory. We thought he was going to do this and that. And they're living here with shattered dreams, now fearful, lacking confidence, confidence destroyed, because they'd not seen what they wanted to see or expected to see. And Jesus came and stood amongst them. And I believe for us, Jesus stands. He stands amongst us today. We're not waiting for a visitation from heaven. God, Jesus, will you come down? Rend the heavens, rend the heavens. Says scripture, rend the heavens. He's done it. He came. And then he sends his Spirit. And he stands amongst us today, saying, guys, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Here's the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. You are equipped. I just think God is incredible. You know, that confidence can come back to our lives. Confidence to dream bigger dreams. Just some of us just dream a dream. In the first place, they went from, we cannot do this anymore, to we can do this. They went and changed the world, literally. I don't even know if they knew the fullness of what their lives were going to do. You don't know the fullness of what your life will do. But maybe dream some kind of dream that God is going to change lives and impact the world through you. Time to take some steps to dream bigger, to pray bigger, and to plan like God is going to answer your prayers. I think you need to, if you're a Connect leader or not a Connect leader, we don't want to go away from here and fail to plan for growth. You don't want to go back into your life and fail to plan for new friends and new opportunities. You don't want to go into your business and plan for shrinkage, right? You want to go and think, God, what have you said to me? And plan with that in your heart. You want to go forward into your university degree and dream about who you could be and what you could do. And even in this period of time, what God wants to do through your life, not in a stressed out, heavy way, but just as you go walking in the confidence of God. Because the last thing I'll say is that God wants to bring confidence in you so that you can step up to your platform. God wants you to have confidence to take to your platform. And the keys or guitar can come up, because we're going to finish in a few minutes. Confidence to take your platform. I love this. Verse 15 and 16 of Matthew chapter 5. People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. But in you, God has lit something. You know, God has lit something in each one of you. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, he's lit something. Sometimes you might feel like it's flickering or dying or whatever, but he's lit something. And he says, well, let's not put it under a basket. Let's not put it under something. Right, let's bring it out. God's proud of what he's done in your life. God is proud of you. He's so pleased with what he's done in your life up until now. Don't put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light. Turn to the person next to you and say, let your light shine. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. I think it's time to let everyone see what's going on. Kind of annoys me, the private faith thing. My faith is very private. I'm like, well, well, that's no use to anyone. It's a private matter. No, it's not. Everyone's supposed to see your good works. I'm so humble. Just do everything in secret. No one knows that I'm doing anything good. It's high time to let your light shine, because there's people who need to see how good God is. Let your light shine. Get up on your platform. A lot of people think they need a stage to perform on. So look at me. Look what I can do. Look at what I got. You know, like Gary, you know? We'll be rebuking him afterwards. It'll be quite painful, but it'll be good for him. And he'll grow. And you think, I need a stage. to perform on. What you really need is a platform to influence from. Because we don't call this a stage. Hey, let's get everyone up on the stage. Da, 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 da. It's a platform for influence. It's to say, look how good God is. Look how great God is. You don't need a stage to gain approval. You know, you need a platform. You need to say, I've got a platform for influence. Our culture creates stages. It's all about stages. It's all about the X Factor, which I quite enjoy, the X Factor, right? Quite enjoy it. You know, it irritates me and entertains me at the same time. And it's a stage. Look at me. Look, here's my story. Here's my story, but to look at me so that I gain something. And, you know, and the big brothers, and nobody watches it anymore anyway, so who cares? Look at what I can do. Look at how I can look. Look at who my friends are. Look at my pain. Search for value. Everyone's searching for value. But you don't need a stage. Stages are about performance and masks and pretense. The real you is precious to God from the inside out. You don't need anybody else's approval in the wider sense of things. You just need to know you've got God's approval. He loves you from the inside out. It's time to recognize your platform. Stages and platforms are created by your story, your talents, your personality, your character. But one says, look at me. And the other says, well, I'm going to stand strong and confident in my God and point people towards Jesus Christ. Your story can be something to gain people's attention on you, or it can be the story of the grace of God in your life that draws people to Jesus Christ. Your talent can be a look at me, or it can be look at what God has graced me to be able to do in order to glorify Him. You can make a stage, or you can make a platform. I love Grace. I don't think she's here today, but Grace Golding works in the arts, right? So just in case you think I'm against the stage, darling, I'm not against the stage, right? But someone like Grace uses the stage to create a platform. You know, she's putting people on the stage, but she's using that whole world to create a platform for influencer, a world changer. Let me tell you this about Joseph. Joseph, I don't know if you know his story. It's in Genesis. He was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were jealous of him. He went into slavery. They thought they wouldn't know if he was alive or dead. Sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by his owner. It seemed to things going well. Oh, it's going well. Oh, no, it's all going horribly wrong. Maybe that's your life. It's going well. It's going well. Oh, no, it's going horribly wrong. Found himself in prison for years, forgotten about. And his story goes that he ends up actually being noticed when he uses a platform, the platform of his life, in order to direct someone towards what God was saying. And he finds himself the ruler of Egypt under Pharaoh, with the ability and the authority to save his family, save his people. And his brothers end up coming to him and they're like, oh gosh, maybe he'll hate us because we sold him into slavery. Maybe he'll hate us. Maybe he'll want to kill us. Maybe. And they come to him in verse 18 to 21 of Genesis 50. It says, his brothers came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. And thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I love that. I think it's a central truth of Scripture. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. Some things that you think are keeping you down. Some things you think, this is just me. It's keeping me down. It's unfair. It's undeserved. Why me, God? Some of those things will become and are meant to be the very platform that you use to speak something good back to your world. There's a rewriting of the story. Joseph rewrote it. It says, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. This is turning around. Things that have knocked your confidence are going to be the platform for incredible influence. I love that he spoke kindly to them. He spoke kindly. Maybe you need to speak kindly about your stuff, about your world. Change the language. The way you speak about everything, it's all like, oh, down. It's all, no, this is rubbish. It's all, maybe we need to change things and speak kindly. Maybe there are people that you need to speak kindly to that you wouldn't normally. You think, oh, I don't, oh, they don't deserve some kind words from me. Maybe it's time to rewrite things. I think confidence can come back to us when we recognize where God has placed you and who he's placed you amongst. Create and recognize the platform that God has for you. Can I just close our eyes? Can we just close our eyes? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. So Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is amongst us. His Spirit is within you. Let's just have a moment. Maybe you can lift your hands, just, you know, just where you are, just in your seat. Maybe you can talk to Jesus. Maybe you can worship him. Maybe you can tell him, Jesus, I love you so much. I thank you that you're not far away, even looking from afar, that you're with me, that you love me, that you have given me your approval because I put my faith and my trust in you. Jesus, we worship you. I remember when, you can just look at me for this last little session. I remember when I was 19 and my mum and dad, they split up. And the first time I saw my dad after he'd like walked out, right? Was in a shopping center and I'd gone looking at the shops and my mum was somewhere. I was going to go meet my mum, and she'd bumped into my dad, and in the six months in between, I'd become, you know, become a Christian, become a follower of Jesus Christ, and I walked up and I just was like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. All right, I just had a chat. Right, and I didn't think too much about it, and I walked away, carried on. I said, okay, I'm going to carry. See you later. He carried on talking to my mum, and he was like, oh gosh, he says, I didn't know what he was going to do. I thought he might hit me. Because the last time we'd seen each other, it got pretty close. The day before he walked out. So he didn't know. He thought, God, this guy's going to be so angry with me. And he was full of stuff and full of regret and all sorts of stuff. But it impacted that, and I'd not even thought about it, that something had clicked and shifted in me, you know? And I found I spoke kindly to someone who represented so much trouble and stuff and letdown and disappointment. And I thought, oh, well, it's because God's here. He's got me. This is okay. My life's going to be all right, you know? And when you know, he does something on the inside of you. And maybe some of us think, gosh, you know what? I need to speak differently to my world and about my world. Our personal world, the world around us. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe if that's you, you say, gosh, I need to change the way I'm speaking. Maybe you need to change the way that you're walking. You say, yeah, that's me. I'm like the grape, right? So often, maybe even now. And gosh, I need to walk differently, and I want to do that. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you as well if you're saying, I need to recognize the platform that's in front of me, the world that God's put me in, even the story of my life, maybe the stuff going on or around my world that seemed terrible, but actually, God, there are means for communicating your grace as I overcome in my world. Maybe you say, I need to recognize the platform of, I'm not on my own here. I'm here for purpose and influence. So if that's you today, just as every eye's closed, why don't you lift your hand, your eyes saying, gosh, I know I need to speak differently. I need to walk differently. I need some reinflating. And if that's you, just raise your hand as well. If you're saying, I need to recognize again my platform. Maybe that's just seeing, I need to recognize where God has placed me. Maybe it's saying I need to change from feeling like, oh, I've got to get everyone's approval, just to knowing I've got God's approval. If that's you today, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. That's good. More hands are going up. That's good. I'll just give you a moment. Because I think God, he just does something deep in our hearts. He wants to restore some confidence, God confidence in our lives. Jesus, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, will you just move in this place right now? Will you just touch every heart? Everyone's hand is raised, Lord God, who God needs something fresh from you. He needs to say, thank you that you're with me. Everyone who needs just new confidence. Everyone who needs to walk over some stuff. Stop being walked over. You're not going to be walked over anymore. This is a new day. This is a new rising up. This is a new springing in your step. Jesus loves you. You don't need to worry. What does everyone else think? Do they like me? Do they not like me? Why did they say that? Why did they say that? I don't know. What do they mean by that? I don't know. You don't need to think like that anymore. If that is you, you can join. You can lift your hand if you want to lift your hand as well. And just say, gosh, yeah, I want to join in with that. Father, I thank you. Restore. Restore every single one. And Father, we want to take up our platform of influence. Come on, let's all stand together. Let's all lift our hands up. I think God just wants to remind every single one of us that he is close, that he is with us, that he is nearby. Come on, let's just have 30 seconds. You where you are, just worship God. Come on, let's just lift up the name of Jesus over our lives. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that we are with you, Lord. Thank you that you're close to the brokenhearted, to those crushed in spirit, that you're restoring us, that you're instilling new confidence in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we're going to be confident in you this year. We're going to walk in a different way, God. We're going to walk into our world. We're going to walk into Monday. We're going to walk into Tuesday. We're going to walk with a new confidence, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. The very last thing I want to do, I want to pray for you today. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, you're saying, oh, I know, he's never been close. I've never known that. You want to know it today. You say, I really want to know Jesus close. Maybe you've known it in the past and you're saying, I'm coming back right now to my relationship with God. I'm restoring everything. I'm going to walk in the good of this. Maybe you've walked away and it's time to come back. If that's you today, we're going to pray a simple prayer. I'll pray and everyone pray after me and then we'll finish. But if that's you today, please join in. If you want to know Jesus or come back to knowing him, we're all going to pray. Here we go. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for me and took upon himself everything that would separate me from you. He defeated everything that would work against me knowing you and that would work against me walking in the good of what you have for me. That was a long sentence. Father, forgive me for going my own way. I want to go your way. I want to know you with me and within me. Clean me from the inside out and lead me in the big dream that you have for me. In Jesus' name. Everybody said.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.